Hi, welcome to the Shallow Dive on the Daf Yomi. I hope you enjoy. Let's see the Mishnah at the bottom of Lam Gimel Min Aleph, 33a. Hamodar Ano Mechaveiro, Shoke Lo Eshkolo. If a person restricts the right to benefit from another person, nonetheless, that other person may weigh out and give the donation of the shekel, the machtis shekel, on his behalf. Uporea eschovo. Similarly, although the first person has taken a vow that he may not benefit from the other, this other person may pay off his debt. And he can also return his lost object. In a case where the person returning a lost object is entitled to payment, that benefit must accrue to Hekdesh. It must be consecrated. Let's see Rashi. Shoka lo es shkolo. You can weigh out the machtes ha-shekel. Hamadir yochol liten bishvilo. Machtes ha-shekel. Shnos not shumas ha-lishcha. Yochle prochovo. The person who is not able to be a source of benefit based on the vow can nonetheless be the one donating the machtes ha-shekel or paying off his debt. Vein mahana lo klum. And it's not considered that he's benefiting him anything. Bach says, v'charkach tzarch lomar piska gemara, v'charkach mishmohachi mediktani chul v'yadayim mamish alma kem tzarch lomar. Some changes over here in the Bach. Mediktani parei achovo alma lo mahani le minachasov deha lo yoiv le v'yadayim mamish. And the fact that it's taught in the Mishnah that he can pay off his debt, therefore, he's not considered benefiting from the forbidden assets based on the vow. Why is that? Because he has not given him anything directly. Paying off another person's debt is not giving that person something. Let's see the Ran. Shokel lo eshkolo, he can weigh out his gift, the requirement of machtes ha-shekel, the half-shekel. Amad le-modir, chen porel ha-chovo. Gemara first time, the Gemara is going to explain the rationale here. Umachse lo avedoso, he can return his last object. De lo midi yohiv le, he's not giving him anything. Elo midav the nafshek mahadale, he's just returning that which was already his. Returning the last object. The beneficiary who has the object return is not gaining from the assets of the one returning, which would be prohibited based on the vow, but rather he's getting what was really his. Therefore, it's permitted. Tipal an ala hektish, in a case where there is a reward, a wage due to the one returning the lost object, im ein masin rosa lakava hasacha, if the one returning the lost object doesn't want to accept the payment, the one who took on this vow, restricting himself from benefiting from the one returning the lost object, he needs to take that value and consecrate it to Hekdesh. She'ilu haya mochelo mader nimtso mahana. If the one returning the lost object says, you know what, forget it, don't pay me, that's essentially giving a gift since it is his due. In these circumstances where the one returning the lost object has a right to this payment. So if he forgoes that and is mochel and says, it's as though I've accepted it, we'll just call it a day, that is essentially giving a gift to the one who lost the object and is getting it returned. And that can't be. So instead, it needs to be given over to Hektish as the consequence of this neder. Let's see the Gemara. Almo evruchei ari ba'almahu. We see from this Mishnah that these examples of what seem to be benefit are not technically called a benefit. How do we construe the gain? As mavriach ari, it's like a metaphor of scaring away a lion. And that's permitted. That's not called direct benefit. Eshkoloshkolo, parei lochovo, I'll weigh out for him the machzis hashekel, the half shekel payment he has to give to gain his share towards the communal offerings and paying off his debt. Okay. On these examples, do we say that the beneficiary is not directly benefiting, but rather he's benefiting from the lion not chasing after him? The lion has been scared away. This looming debt is like a lion. But not that he's directly benefiting from his benefactor. He's just scaring away the lion of the debt owed for the Machzis HaShekel or other debts. Lo chishar, therefore, it's permitted. Mishum delav midi yodle, he's not giving him anything. Elav shemesalek hamav melo, he is just removing the lender from upon him. Mishum hochi nami shoke lo shkolo. In a similar vein, he's allowed to indirectly benefit by this person's wealth being used to pay for his half shekel contribution. He's not benefiting. Why? Even without giving the machzis hashekel, he still has a share in the communal offering. Kiditnan, as it's taught in the Mishnah and Tzubis, Kuf Chesman Aleph, and Bat Metzia Daf Nun Chesman Aleph, Tarmin Al Ha'ovid, Ha'ovud, Bela Gavui, Bela Osi Ligvos, Mayamit, Ha Kamis Mahani Le, Parachova of Ruchi Ari Hu Vishari. So, although he's required to pay his half shekel tax, and that does go towards the communal offerings, nonetheless, he is a member of the Tzibur even without paying that, and he gets a kapara. He has a share in that even without technically paying. He doesn't have to pay. He can be a freeloader. So therefore, if somebody else pays on his behalf, he's not called benefiting. And once you come on to that example, so we're going to need to reevaluate by a lender, a regular loan. That's not the case. That the lender is going to come chasing after him. Let's see in the Gemara, the discussion, a further discussion of the parameters of Mavriach Ari. How do we look at it? Mantana, who is the author of our Mishnah? Ama Rav Hoshea. Rav Hoshea says, Zu Divrei Chana. These are the words of Chana. The Mishnah is in accordance with the opinion of Chana, which we're going to see shortly, what Chana says. Rashi, De Amar Iv Ma'osov. Chanan holds that the generous benefactor has lost any recourse. He lost his money. She'ein l'mava abayla shel zu klum. The lender does not have recourse to the rogue husband, since he didn't give the money into the husband's hand. How do we construe what happened? We had a case where a husband who's obligated to sustain his wife skips town, goes overseas, the wife still needs to eat, and he's still responsible to pay for that should she need to eat, which we would expect she should. Now what happens? She comes, she says she's hungry, some very generous fellow holds her up, pays for her. Now husband comes back, he says, pay me back. I laid out this money for you. The husband can say, no, you just scared away the lion. I had a looming debt. When her stomach growls, I have to pay, but you just scared it away. So thank you very much, but I don't owe you anything. What happened? Shapir Nesa Zisha, he supported his wife. Shuchayv Lazono, he, the husband, is required to make sure that she is sustained. But there's no recourse for the one who lent out the money. It's not really a loan. He just scared away the lion. This looming requirement, this responsibility the husband has, if his wife is not hungry, he also doesn't have to pay. So it happens to be, why is she not hungry? Because somebody else fed her. But that's not his problem. It's called Mavriya Hari. The guy laid out money, scared away the lion. Hohanami, so too over here. Kipara Chovo. When he pays off the other person's debt, Ibruche Rihu, he's just scaring away the lion. She'ein lo lifra, alchov klum, lahachishari. He doesn't have to pay out for this debt. Therefore, it's permitted. The Bach says, lifra hachov klum. Takes out the word al. D'i kahanim gedolim depligela dechanonhi. If Rashi has a different girsa, our girsa in the Gemara is b'nei kohanim gedolim. Rashi has it in the name of the kohanim gedolim. They disagree with Chanon. Rav Hoshea says it's Chanon that our Mishnah is going with. This concept of mavriya hari, scaring away the line. But the b'nei kohanim gedolim disagree. Di kohanim gedolim pligele dechanonhi. If their opinion, they disagree. They say there is recourse for this very generous benefactor taking care of this poor woman whose husband ran away. There is recourse, according to B'nai Kohanim Gedolim. Kivin Amri Shava Kamahotzi V'itol Minabao. Since they hold that the benefactor can take an oath, says, look, this is how much I spent, I laid out, and he can collect that after his oath from the husband. Hachanami Svir Luhu Kipara Chovo Yochel Lifroch Haporea Ligvos Minalove. Similarly, in the case of our Mishnah, if somebody lays out money, pays out down the debt for another person, he can then go and turn around and collect that from the borrower. Therefore, according to B'nai Kohanim Gedolim, it's not called Mavriya Chari, it's not scaring away a lion, it's fully collectible. If the one who laid out money to retire the debt doesn't actually go back to the borrower and collect, so he is, in a very real sense, benefiting the borrower, and that would be prohibited when there's a vow prohibiting such a benefit. So this is the debate. Do you say Mavriya Hari, that's Hanan's opinion, or do you say, no, it's not Mavriya Hari, there is recourse, and this benefactor can get money back from the person who owes it, be it the husband that is required to sustain his wife, or a borrower that has to pay the lender. Let's see the Gemara. Rava marafilu tema dibreko. Rava says you don't have to say that the Mishnah is limited to the opinion of Chanon, but it can go according to everybody. Gabi moder hano diyohiv. Concerning what case is it broadly acceptable, even according to the opinion of Nekonim Gedolim. Diyohiv le almenas shalolifra. In a case where the loan was extended on condition that the borrower will pay at his own schedule, on his own time, and the lender has no recourse to demand payment. So in such a case, an unusual type loan, then everybody would agree that the concept of a mavriya hari is in effect, that the lion is being scared away, but not that there's a tangible benefit accruing to the borrower when this benefactor retires his loan. Because anyway, the borrower is sitting in a good position. He doesn't have to pay if he doesn't feel like paying. So that is Rava's opinion. So Dibre HaKol, we're talking about a specific type of loan. Okay, my Chanon. We had this debate, Rav Hoshea and Rava. Who is our Mishnah going like? Do you say that it's a specific type of loan and going according to everybody? Or do you say it's a regular loan and going specifically according to Chanon, that views the retiring of a loan as Mavriya Hari, as scaring away this lion? My Chanon, what is the case of Chanon? Ditnan, as was taught in a Mishnah, Misha Alchem Dina Sayam, somebody went overseas, V'Omen Echot, and one man stood up and paid, Pirna Sisishto, supported this Agunos, needs. She's got to eat. So he gave her, he provided for her. Hanan Omar Ibed Esma Oso. Hanan says, this very generous fellow lost his money. But the sons of the great high priest disagreed. They said, Yishova, Kamahot Sivito. He should take a vow, an oath. How much did he expend to sustain her? And then collect that from the husband. Amar Bidosa Ben Hyrcanus Kidivrayim. Rabbi Dosa Ben Hyrcanus said, he agrees with Kohanim Gedolim. Amar Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Yofi Amar Chanan. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai said, to the contrary, it's fitting and more correct that which Chanan said, that at the din, the benefactor does not have recourse. Hiniach Ma'os Val Keren HaTzvi, a colorful description. He has placed his money on the horn of this deer, very quick-footed creature, not sticking around, and good luck getting your money back. Let's see the Ran. The Ran severely limits the parameters of Chanon. V'hai omed echad, pinus esishto, da'amar, de'lechanon, hiniach ma'oso al-keren tzvi, kosa v'rash bazal. This case where Chanon says the benefactor has no recourse to collect that which he laid out from the husband because he's placed his money on this highly unstable, flighty horn of the deer. Because of Rashba, the Rashba writes, "Dedafka mefarish machmas mezonos shechayav lo baylo hunosin lo." It's a very specific case where the benefactor said, "I'm paying because of the husband's duty to pay for his wife's sustenance." The Kaigavna, only under such circumstances, Amar Chanon de Potter. That's where Chanon said that the husband is exempt. Avapinistam, what if he didn't say anything? He just shelled out the money. He goes to the store, says, this poor woman, her husband skipped town. Here's some money. Chose vigover, lefiako, shakol amifarnis, stam, ain amifarnis betaras matana. Then he can collect, because anybody who sustains, presumably is not sustaining just as a gift. El betaras halva, presumably he's giving it out as a loan. Beninsa, shehi chayvislo, and it comes out that the woman is required to pay him, because he's not giving a gift, because the husband has to pay, so therefore he's stepping in. He's saying, effectively, if it's not spoken out, he's saying, you got to eat, your husband, well, we don't want to talk about him, he's overseas, and you need money to eat, I'm going to lend out the money. That's the unspoken understanding, says the Rashba. Therefore, she has to pay him. And once she has to pay, me, Shapirnes Osa, Govimena, the one who sustains her, can collect from her. And she, in turn, has a right to collect from her husband. So she says, yeah, of course. He's got to pay for that. So she's borrowing in the meantime, and she can collect from her husband to pay off that debt, because that's a debt that was accrued on his account. Kamosh Bir Shrashizal Perik Shnei Dayanik Zeros Gabil Voslov Ochla Maida Omar de Ochla Vinifras Mibailo Bal Chov Gova Mimen. So she can collect, she can take out this loan and then collect from her husband because he owes her. So in a stam case, when it wasn't spoken out, says the Rashba, it's not called Mavriach Hari, but rather a series of loans. And therefore, he will get paid back because he's collecting from her, and she has a right to collect from her husband for this outlay. Continuing in the Gemara. Rava lo amar k'Rav Hoshea. Rava did not say like Rav Hoshea, to kamukim lo masnisin k'Rav Yaakov. Rava, who learned the Mishnah in a very specific type of loan, did so with a clear goal, to learn that the Mishnah is ecumenical. He wants it to be according to everybody. That's a typical stance. Try and learn the Mishnah as broadly as you can. We understand, Rava. Rav Hoshea lo amar ki Rava, but why didn't Rav Hoshea learn like Rava? Gzeira shelo lifra mishum lifra. Rav Hoshea says no, it's only going according to Chanon because this particular type of loan is a very rare, unusual bird, a loan where the lender has no recourse. And therefore, there'd be a concern if that was really operable, that it would be abused, and a regular loan would also, by blurring the lines, be treated the same way. Therefore, there's a presumed gzeira, if such a loan were extended, that is treated like a regular loan. And therefore, there would be no recourse. It would be considered all prohibited, except according to Chanon, who says, even a regular loan is mavriachari. A regular loan that a benefactor comes and retires is considered not a direct benefit to the borrower, but an indirect benefit that's not the subject of this prohibition of the vow. Rashi, it was given on condition not to be paid. Mizeh, from this one. Now, when it's paid up, it's not a benefit. This unusual loan structure, that the borrower is fully in control of the payment. If the borrower would wish, so the lender cannot collect anything from him. We have various parts of the Mishnah. So Rashi is saying, in contrast to what we saw in the Ran before, that by the Machzis HaShekel, one could technically be a freeloader, a member of the Tzibur, deriving the benefits of the atonement of the communal offering, even if they didn't pay. Rashi says a different ukimta, a different circumstance that we can view it as not being a hana, even though somebody else paid the half shekel on his behalf. She'ena mahana lo klom. Kigon, what's the case that he's not benefiting at all? Kigon shu'atzma shokel ha'shkolo, v'shokel v'shalayim. That the supposed beneficiary already set aside and consecrated the half shekel. But what happened? It was sent to Jerusalem. V'nignam, it was stolen, or avar, got lost. La'achash nisrimo. After it was Nisrama, it was already the and the fellow who has already essentially done his part of giving the machzis ha-shekel, the half shekel, is not required to ensure that it arrives safely in Jerusalem. He is not subject to collection. That's how we rule. This members of the city that have already sent forth their portions, their machzis ha-shekels. When it was stolen, or it was lost, im nisrama truma, if it was already consecrated, nishboin hashluchim, those who were sent to collect, they take an oath, legizvaran, to the treasurers, sha'avdu, that it was lost, ubailam turin, and those who actually already gave it are exempt. Determine ala avod, vimkadam shenitrama alishka nishbon mnei ir, and if before it was consecrated, then the oath has to be to the Bnei Ha'ir. Lefikach lo chozer hanoder uparashkalo mutter de lo mahana leklal. In this case, in such circumstances, the one who is already given his machzis ha-shekel is technically exempt and cannot be collected, forced to pay again. Nonetheless, if somebody else does it on his behalf, so then it was fulfilled, but it's not considered a benefit to the one who has already done what he's required to do, even though it technically didn't get to the usage of the carbon of the tzibur. He's still exempt. He's done what he's required to do, and it's not called a hanotem, and not a benefit to him. Mishum lefra, dehasam I have a parachovo, have a mahanile. In the unusual setup of a loan structure that the borrower has full control of payment. So if another party pays and retires that debt, so in that case, we say there's no benefit. But in a normal case where the lender has recourse to the borrower, there is a benefit. So according to Rav Oshia, he learns the Mishnah is talking about, according to Chanon Davka, specifically Chanon, because of a concern of Gzeira, that this unusual loan setup should not be differentiated from a standard loan. And according to Chanon, all loans will be treated the same as Mavriach Ari. And it's merely this metaphor scaring away the lion, but not a direct benefit. Continuing in the Gemara, after the two dots, Machzer lo es avidaso. We saw in the Mishnah, he returns his lost object. Pligi bo Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. There's a debate between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. Chad omar lo shono elo mishnechse machzer asur abal veido. What is the context? Is that the properties of the one returning the lost object are prohibited to benefit the one who lost the object? And in such a case, when this fellow returns the lost object, he's not benefiting him because he's giving him his own. But in a case where the properties of the one who lost the object are prohibited to the one returning the lost object, if that's the structure of the vow, then he may not return it. Dika misanile putra Yosef, because in that circumstance, the one returning the object is going to benefit from what's called putra Rav Yosef. The benefit that while he's toiling in the mitzvah of returning the lost object, he's exempt from giving tzedakah. So that benefit, according to Rav Yosef, makes him a shomer sacha. That benefit is construed over here as coming from the one who lost the object, and therefore he should not return the lost object. If the returner is not allowed to benefit from the one who lost the object, so he shouldn't return the object. That's one opinion. The Chad Amar, and the other, you don't have the names, but one of them is Rabbi Ami, the other is Rabbi Asi. Chad Amar afilu nichse bala veda asur namaser. Even if the properties of the one who lost the object are prohibited to the one returning the object, mehadale, he can still return the lost object. Oh, if you're concerned that he's going to benefit in the event that a poor person comes just then saying, can you give me some bread? No, that's not typical. That's not a common event. And there's no need to be concerned of that. And the one who is not allowed to benefit from the Bala Veda, the one who lost the object, can still return it. I'm not concerned with this unusual possibility. Let's see Rashi. Lo shono de machzer lo avedoso, ela kishnichse machzer asurin abal avedo. It was only taught that the one who's returning lost object may do so when the properties of the one returning are prohibited, asurin abal avedo, are prohibited to the one who lost the object. That the one returning the object made a vow generating such a prohibition. When the one who is returning the object is returning to the person that lost the object, and that person who lost the object is not entitled to benefit from the one returning, that's not a problem. Since he's returning the lost object that belongs to the one who lost it, so even though he's the vehicle for that, it's not considered that he's benefiting from the properties of the one returning the object, and that's therefore permitted. But if the properties of the one who lost the object are prohibited on the one who is returning the object, that the one who's returning the lost object is prohibited from deriving benefit from the one who lost the object, lo motzi mahadale, avedoso. Then the one who would like to return is not allowed to return the lost object, mishum de imahadale, have mishanim balavedo. Because if he would return it, he's gaining this derivative benefit of pruta de Yosef from the one who lost the object. What's pruta de Yosef? Says Rashi. The Amar of Yosef, ha'osig mitzvah, patur min mitzvah. One who isn't engaged in fulfilling a mitzvah is exempt from another mitzvah. V'lo boy l'metav le'pruta le'anyo. And he does not need to give a charitable gift to the poor. Mishvil osa mitzvah shmekayim. Because he's in the middle of fulfilling a different mitzvah of returning a lost object. Hilkach, therefore, ein machzir lo avedoso. Therefore, he should not return the lost object because the one who would like to return it is benefiting from the one who lost the object. The other opinion, pruta Rav Yosef l'shchiach. That's uncommon, and therefore, yes, return it. Says Rashi, to l'shchiach ha'gavno de lahavi shovi v'lo yoiv pruta l'anyo bishvil osa mitzvah. It's uncommon that there should actually be a full-out conflict that a poor person approaches him precisely at the time that he's busy with returning lost object. V'lo mishani minei klal, and therefore, he doesn't actually typically gain anything. L'fikach machzir l'avedoso. Therefore, he should return to the one who lost the object, the lost object. The Ram says, Medam de nafshe kama hadale, from his own is he returning to him. So although the assets of the one returning the object are prohibited to the one who lost the object, he may still return the lost object because he's returning his own to him. V'lo mahani le midi, and he's not giving him anything. Elo shemavriach nezek avedos me'elo. What he's doing is helping him avoid the loss of not getting his property back. So that's not giving anything, it's just removing this loss, the potential loss. It's like a type of mavriach harit. Continues the Ram, to come ahanile pruta of Yosef, that he's benefiting him, that the returner, the one who wants to return the lost object, is benefiting Prutat of Yosef. Echi mahadile avadoso, mifter miletesev, milimetav le pruta l'ani. When engaged in the mitzvah of returning a lost object, the one returning is exempt from giving a small coin of tzedakah l'ani to a poor person. She'ozek b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah. While engaged in a mitzvah, one is exempt from performing another mitzvah. Vitali lebr of Yosef, and this is considered the pruta of Yosef, this concept transcends Rav Yosef, of osik b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah. Why is it called pruta of Yosef? Nishom, the pligi rabba of Yosef, there is a debate between rabba and Rav Yosef, perek hakonis, tzon ledir, and baba kama, nun vach mebeis, b'shom ravido, one who is a guardian for a lost object, I have a kishom esachar, is he considered like a paid watchman? The sphere of Yosef, and Rav Yosef is of the opinion, Kivon de Miftim and Peter, Pruta la Ani, since he's exempt from giving tzedakah, from giving charity, while he's engaged in the process of guarding and returning a lost object, Shomer Sacharav, he is considered a paid watchman. Continues the Ran, Pruta Rav Yosef lo shchiach. Nonetheless, it's exotic, it's rare to actually have this conflict. Sheyovo Ani, Beisho Memenu, Ba'osa Shah, that precisely at the time that he's busy returning lost object, a poor person should come and knock and say, can you give me something to eat? The Nemo lo had it, that we should say that he should never return the lost object. Nishum Rav Shadim Edi, because he's gaining from the one who lost the object. Dechia Gavno, in such case, Kivon de lo shchiach, since it's uncommon, lo hav b'chlal isra no, it's not included in the prohibition of deriving benefit. Umiyu kivon de efsha de asi, umishani mino. Nonetheless, Rav Yosef says, since it's possible that he'll gain, shomer sacho, he is considered a paid watchman. Alea, because of this potential gain, the chayev b'gneva veda, in a practical sense, he's held to a higher standard, as though he were a paid guardian, a paid watchman. So if it's stolen or lost, he is held responsible to compensate the one who lost the object, even though he doesn't typically gain. And we're not concerned about that potential gain in our context of the Isser Hana. That's the Ram. Let's see Tosfos. D'mehani lei pruta d'Rav Yosef. Pirush b'shasha osik b'mitzvah saveda. B'mtoma yoshev lo tibol ano lehekdesh. Tosfos says, why don't we say, instead of viewing the conflict between Pruta of Yosef and Hashavas Aveda as fatal and terminating the potential of returning the lost object, why don't we say that in the event that he gains this reward, this, after all, he's called a paid watchman, it might happen. It's possible, even if it's rare. Why don't we say that that benefit should automatically accrue to Hekdesh? He should be required to give that value of what he didn't have to pay for charity to Hekdesh, to consecrate it. And therefore, he's not going to gain. Why don't we say that? Kimakom shnot le'sachar? Shnot le'sachar, like in the case, the last case of the Mishnah, in a place where a person who is returning a lost object is entitled to compensation, over there we say that accrues to Hekdesh. Say the same thing here. Pishlomar says Tosfos an answer. Delo motz ledaik ledas kamo pamim poterhu al yoda. He can't be so precise to know how many times he was exempt from giving to the poor person by virtue of being engaged in the returning of the lost object. Meitav rit alon. How many times did he not have to give bread to a poor person? Why he can't figure it out, I'm not quite sure. The Gemara says, lo shchech, it's not common. So for some reason, although it's not common, and Tosfos knows that, he sees it as challenging to make a tally. How much do we say that he is exempt from giving an ani that he can then give corresponding funds to Hekdesh, to consecrate, to avoid being a beneficiary from the property of the one who lost the object? Vim Tomar, Tosfos asks, why do we consider this as a benefit coming from the properties of the one who lost the object? All he's doing is scaring away the lion, so to speak, who in this case is the poor person collecting money from him. Even by one who pays off a debt, we consider him to be scaring away a lion. He could say, I'll make a deal with a lender. It's not clear that this is going to be some type of calamity. Debtor's prison. No, that's not happening. All the more so over here. It's not so common that the guy is busy dealing with shaking out the rug to protect it on behalf of the one who lost it, and then he can't give bread to the poor person. It's not so common. Says Tosfos an answer. In the case of a third party who is paying down, retiring the debt on someone else's account, he is called Mavriach Ari. He's scaring away the lion, the lender, from antagonizing the borrower. Therefore, since the borrower could say, I would smooth it over with the lender, you're not really benefiting me, you're just scaring away the hassle, but you're not benefiting me directly. But over here, there is no third party. The one who is returning the lost object is himself scaring away the lion. How? By working on returning the lost object of his friend. Remarkably, Tosfos says, the way we construe such a thing is as though the person returning the lost object digs his hand into the pocket of the one who lost the object, pulls out some money, and gives it to the poor person. Shocking. Haganami said to over here, Tosfos says, this concept is generic. It's a matter of third party versus doing it directly. If by retiring a loan, if the person who is the borrower would personally be involved in the process, if you take money from another person to pay off his debt, so that certainly would be prohibited as a benefit from the other person's property. So let's say that the benefactor, instead of personally getting involved and retiring the debt for someone else, just has a pile of money. It says this pile of money is available for anybody who wants to retire their debts. So this guy says, great. He says, why don't I do that? Oh, I'm not allowed to benefit from his property. I took a vow. I can't benefit from his property. And even though he's got this whole big pile of money available specifically for this property, for this purpose of retiring the debts, and I would like to retire my debts, but if I do it myself, if I go and take his money to retire the debt, then I can't say he's just being mavriachari. I'm mavriachari. I'm the one scaring away the lion, and that's called me benefiting from his properties. So if he did it, so it could be considered indirect. Not that I'm benefiting from his property, but if I do it, I'm called benefiting from his property. So he says, that's what's going on by the one toiling in returning a lost object. He is mavriachari with the other person, the one who lost the object's assets. Shockingly, Tosus says, it's as though the Baal Haveda, the one who lost the object, is being taken. His property is being taken and given over to the Ani, to the pauper. Why is Tosa saying that? That's quite shocking. The poor person, let's not forget, he's poor. He knocks on this person's door saying, can you please give me a slice of bread? I'm very hungry. And the guy says, you know, I'm really sorry. Right now I'm in the middle of taking care of someone else's lost object. Try again another day. Tosa says, how do we look at that? We look at that as though the poor person has received a meal from the pocket of the one who lost the object. It's a very interesting way of looking at it, because the poor person says, I'm still hungry. And yet, Tosa says, we look at it as though he is gaining, at least from the perspective of the one who's returning the object. From the perspective of the one who's returning the object, the poor person is gaining from the pocket of the one who lost the object. That's a surprise twist. Why would we say that? I understand that he himself is involved in mavriachari. So say that that's called he's being nene. But why do you have to say it's as though the poor person gained? The poor person is still hungry. His stomach is still growling. Perhaps the advantage of looking at it this way, which I still don't fully understand how Tosa says we do look at it this way, but the advantage of saying that we look at it this way can address what Tosa said earlier, which is a very strong question. Why don't we say that instead of not returning the lost object when there's a conflict, the returning the lost object would generate a benefit of Prutah Rav Yosef? So still return the lost object, and that benefit, make an accounting and give that to Hektish. Why don't we say that? That was Tosus's kasha. And he says we can't really make an accounting, which is a very surprising answer, a very challenging answer, because it's rare. Lo shchiach. So how hard is it to make an accounting? How many times did it happen? It rarely happens anyway. According to this answer, the Tosus is saying that we view the benefit as accruing to the poor person. So that, why we do that, I don't know. But once we do look at it that way, that could afford us an answer to Tosus's previous question. That now that we view it as though the Ani has benefited, so there's no need to say that the one who is returning the lost object is the beneficiary, and he's got to now compensate Hektish to avoid being the nana. No. The Ani is considered to have been given tzedakah. It is as though the Ani has been given tzedakah. It's though the Ani has been given, the poor person has been given charity, even though, again, technically speaking, he is still hungry. But the way we're looking at it is as though the person returning the lost object has taken from the pocket of the one who lost the object and benefited the poor person who's knocking on his door. So if that's the way you look at it, for whatever reason, we don't have akasha, why don't we say that the beneficiary is the one working on returning the lost object, and therefore to avoid that benefit, he's got to compensate hektish to give a parallel outlay to the consecrated property of the temple? No, don't say that. If you look at it as though he's just taken from the pocket of the one who lost the object and given to the poor person here, so the problem is that he is personally involved in Mavriach Ari. He's personally involved in scaring away the lion. That's why it's not called Mavriach Ari. He's doing it for himself, so he's called a beneficiary. But in terms of the financial side of things, he shouldn't have to compensate hektish to avoid being nana. The hana is not accruing to him. It's not as though he got to pocket the money. For some reason, Tosfos is not saying we look at it as him pocketing the money. If we would say it's as though he's pocketing the money, then we should say he's got to outlay to give to hektish, to undo that money that he is pocketing instead of giving to the poor person. No. Tosfos says we don't look at it that way. We look at it as though he's not pocketing the money, and it's going to the ani. So, well, if it's going to the ani, so there's no reason for him to have to pay hektish again. Continuing in the Gemara, top of Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, Tanan. It was taught in the Mishnah. Makom shenotan l'alei sachar tipal hano lehektish. We saw in the Mishnah that in a place where the one returning a lost object is entitled to compensation for that job, so that benefit should accrue to hektish. It should be consecrated as a result of this vow prohibiting the benefit of such a wage. Bishlom Laman de Omar, this goes well according to the opinion. We saw there's a machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. I don't know who says what, but Bishlom Laman de Omar, afilu bishnechse balveda asurim almarte, nami mehader. According to the opinion, that even when the circumstance is such that the properties of the one who lost the object are prohibited on the one who is returning the object, nonetheless, he may still engage in returning the lost object. That is why the Mishnah taught, Mokom shnot nalasochar tipal anolaktish, in a place where the one returning the lost object is entitled to compensation, so there's a need to give a commensurate sum to hektish, to consecrate it. Elamandu Omar, but according to the opinion, Kishnirse Baal Aveda Asurim Al Maaser Lumahadir, that when the circumstance is such that the property owned by the one who lost the object is prohibited to be a source of benefit for the one returning the lost object, in such a case, the one returning the lost object is barred from doing so. He should not return the lost object. Am I tibla no lehektish? Why should the benefit, that schar, be commensurately given to hektish, to be consecrated to the temple? He's not returning it. He's not returning the lost object. So what's going on? Why should it be maktish? The hanoah. He's not returning it. Gemara answers, achadoktoni. It's only taught one way. It's not taught both ways. Let's see Tosfos. Mishlam alman de omar, mishnechse hulu pirish, shishneim modern zemizeh, when both the one who lost the object and the one who found the object are mutually exclusive, they cannot benefit from each other's properties. L'kach tipol hanolektish. That's why there's a requirement that the benefit should be, the same value of that benefit should be donated to hektish, to be consecrated. El mandamach hulu, amai tipol hanolektish. According to the opinion that the lost object should not be returned, why should there be a hana for the schar hashava going to hektish? Iten schar lemachzir, give that wage to the one returning the last object. Sharei eno moder Mibaha Veda. Because he's not prohibited on the one who lost the object. So what's the problem? It's going on one pirish. Legabe chado minayok tani. It's only taught concerning one, tipo hanoa lehektish, that we say in the Mishnah that the corresponding amount should be consecrated to the temple property. Legabe bala veda, concerning the one who lost the object. She'im hamachzir eino rotzu lekabel haschak. If the one returning lost object and has a right to collect the payment for doing so, in such a case where he doesn't want to, he says, you know what? I just want to return the lost object. I have a right to collect in this circumstance. I don't want to, though. Im kein, nen, amin amachzir. If so, he's benefiting from the one who lost the object is benefiting from the one returning it, because he's getting off a discount when he's really required by the circumstance to pay the one returning lost object. If the one returning waives that, so the one who lost the object is getting a gain from the one who's returning lost object, which is a problem. In that case is when the Mishnah says that the one who lost the object has to give a corresponding amount to Hektish. He says, okay, you returning the object, thank you very much. I can't derive benefit from you. You don't want to take the money, that's fine for you, but I can't gain from you. So since I'm required, because you have a right to demand payment in this circumstance, so if you don't accept it, I'm gaining. Therefore, that amount that you have a right to take, I've got to give that to Hektish as part of the consequence of this vow of not deriving benefit from you. Let's continue in the Gemara. Ika demasne lob b'hai lishna. There's another version of this masomatan. Pligi ba Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi. There is a debate between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi in our Mishnah. Chad amar lo shano ela b'shenechse bala veda asurin al machzir. One of them says that the context of the Mishnah is when the properties, the assets of the one who lost the object, are prohibited on the one returning the object. U'mishimprut Rabbi Yosef lo shchiach, and because the benefit that the one returning the object gains of Prut Rav Yosef in the event that there's a conflict between returning the object and giving a poor person at the same time, that gain is not common. Avol nechse machzer asur ma bala veda lo mahadle. But if the properties of the one returning the lost object are prohibited to the one who lost the object, then he should not return it to him. Mishum to come ahead, because he is benefiting from it. This other version is a different perspective than what we saw before. Before we said, he's returning his own stuff. He's returning that lost object to the one who owned it. That's not called a benefit. But here we're saying, no, that although he's returning the object that was owned by the one who lost it, so ostensibly it's not a hana. No, it is called a hana. Rashi explains, even though he's returning his own to him, nonetheless, the one returning the object is called benefiting him. It's similar to benefiting from his properties, because the one returning the object is instrumental in making that return. So it's like he is benefiting, like the one who lost the object is benefiting from that person, and that's a problem. V'chad Omar, and the other one, of either Rabbi Ami or Rabbi Asi, even the properties of the one returning the lost object are prohibited on the one who lost the object. Bach changes over here. Mahadele, Dechi Mahadele, Mididinavshe Mahadele. When he returns it to him, he's returning his own, like we said before. Tznan, it was taught in the Mishnah. Malkom shnotlin alea asachar, tipel hanoa lehektish. The conclusion of the Mishnah, in a place where the one returning the lost object has a right to collect some wage for that process. So the one who lost the object has to give that value to hektish. Bishlom lemandu amar afilu. That goes well according to the opinion that even, bishnechse marzer asurim al bala veda, even when the properties of the one who is returning lost object are prohibited on the one who lost the object, Mahadre, still he should return the lost object. Hainu, the Mataritz, Mokum. That's where the Mishnah says Mokum, in such a location, in such a place, a context, where the one who lost the object is required to pay out to the one who is returning the object. Elamad Omar, the Shnechse Machser Asun. But according to the opinion that when the properties of the one returning the lost object are prohibited on the one who lost the object, Vilo Mahadir, and therefore it's a fatal conflict, he should not return the lost object, then Hechem Taretz, Mokum. Then how do you have a case of Mokum? How do you have a case where the one who is returning the lost object may return it, should return it, and the one who is receiving it has to give an outlay of that benefit? What's the case? He's not going to be returning it. Kasha, that is a kasha. According to this Ikad Amri, this other version, we do have a problem. Top of Lamedalat Amad Beit. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hai Solofonov Kikar Shel Hefker. If somebody had in front of him a loaf that was ownerless, Va'ama Kikazu Hektish, and he said, this loaf is consecrated. Natala Achla, and then unfortunately, he took it to eat it. Ma Lefikula, is embezzled from consecrated property at the full value of the loaf. If instead, Lehorish Labanov, he took it not to eat it, but to bequeath it to his children, Ma Lefitavas Noshaba, then he also is guilty of Me'ila. It's a form of embezzlement from Hektish, but not to the extent of the full value of the loaf, but it's a derivative. The Tovas Hana, the benefit, the goodwill that he will gain from such a gift, such an inheritance from his sons, that goodwill is the amount of Me'ila, not the full value of the loaf. Let's see, Rashi, Kikar Shel Hektish, the Kol Shekein I D'Nafshei, not only if this loaf was ownerless, but all the more so if it was his own loaf. Elo Rebus Kamashmalan, but it's coming to teach you an additional novelty. It's a bigger chiddush that even of hefker, do we say Dematzi Zochi the hefker Chalik Dushalad, that he's able to acquire this for hefker, from hefker, to generate a status of hektish, to consecrate it. But certainly, if it was his, says Rashi, the same thing would be applicable. Not lamanas la'ochla, if he took it on condition to eat it, given shehech sigbo kana, since he grabbed onto it, he has acquired it. Rehechzik ba kana. Bim achla ma'ala fikula. And if he ate it, the me'ila is commensurate with the full value of the loaf. Umishalim lehektish lefikula, he has to pay the full amount, the chomish, as well as an additional 25%. Shareho tziyah lechulin, because he has taken it out to chulin, the domain of this property has gone away from hektish, so he's required to pay keren vechomish. If, however, he then takes it out from Hektish, not to eat it, but just to bequeath it to his sons, Rashi says we're talking about after he took it out, he consecrated it, because before that, he's not able to consecrate it. There's another girsa, to the contrary, that he took it on condition to bequeath it after it was consecrated. Then, although he engaged in me'ila, it's a form of embezzlement from consecrated property, but not to the full amount of the loaf, but only the derivative goodwill amount within this loaf. Only commensurate with the goodwill generated by, for some reason Rashi says, one of the sons, presumably it should be all the sons, Bishvil Shemarishalo, because he is going to inherit this. V'hainu Tovasana, and this is considered the Tovasana. Perhaps the presumption is the loaf is not Roy Lischalik, not going to be divided, and one of the sons will inherit the loaf. So maybe that's why he doesn't view it as a Tovasana from the various sons. But in any event, the main point is it's a derivative, And the me'ila is not to the extent of the full value of the loaf, but just the goodwill generated by this person working to enrich his sons by their gaining this loaf. Let's see the Ran. The Ran disagrees with Rashi. Amar Rava, Heiselfan Akika Shel Hefker, Amar Akika Zu Hektish Napala Achla Ma'al Afi Kula. The first part of Rava. Haidanaket La Bikika Shel Hefker, Velanaket La Bikika Shel Lo. That which this Maimra, the teaching of Rava, is talking about the initial state of the loaf being ownerless as opposed to being his own. Unlike Rashi, who says that it's Kol Shekein Idanafshe, Rabuzo Kamashmalan. The Ran says, no, it's Dafka Hefker. Shahaiso Medes. We're not talking about a loaf that was standing b'chatzero in his courtyard, Vigdisha, and then he consecrated it. Shom Dechai Gavno, not la achlalama. If it actually would not have been ownerless, but have been his, in his courtyard, that he then consecrated and then determined that instead he wants to eat it, he actually would not affect Me'ila, not form this embezzlement, like in a case when he took it from Hefker, from an ownerless state. Why? Kivon demikmi hektish shalohai. So since prior to consecrating it, it was his. Achar hektish gamkin b'rishus omenes. And even after it was consecrated, it's still in his courtyard. Havalei ki gizwa shel hektish. It's parallel to the case of the treasurer of hektish. Damrin b'sof derkam d'chagigo she'im not al dova shel hektish. Lizchos bo loma. If the treasurer of Hektish takes something in a manner of embezzlement, since he's not actually transferring domains, he doesn't actually do mu'ila. It's not an embezzlement with the consequences of mu'ila mishum d'mikara nami b'shusekai. It was initially also under his domain. V'hashtanami b'shusei, and it's still in his domain. Vein mu'ila b'hektish ela b'motzi mirshus hektish l'rshus acher. The technical requirements for mu'ila is not just embezzlement, but actually has to be transported, the object has to be transported from one domain to another. So just as when it's the domain of the treasurers from beginning to end, even though there's an embezzlement, it's not subject to the me'ila, so too, if it was his loaf in his courtyard, you have a similar dynamic that would not be subject to me'ila. So it's dafka coming from a case where it was not initially in his domain, but it was hefker, it was ownerless. Mali, b'chatzer mali b'yado, what does it matter whether it's in his courtyard or in his hand? Ha'cha v'ha'cha l'nofek mirshusei, either way, it did not depart from his domain. L'ha'cha inokit le b'kikar shel hefker. Therefore, we're discussing a case, Rava is discussing a case specifically of hefker, not even hefker, but specifically where it's ownerless. Sh'asomenes toch dar amoso. It's within 4 cubits of where this person is standing. Shekonoslo, b'chol makom, he's able to make an acquisition. Shemhachi, ki amar, ki kisa hektish. Therefore, when he says this loaf should be consecrated, chayil, it works. Umagdish ze, lo zachabo me'olam. And the one who is consecrating it never actually acquired it, ever. Davagav, da amar, perakamad b'mitzia, didara mosa shal adam, konoslo. Even though in b'mitzia it says, dafir min alef, that the 4 cubits of a person can affect an acquisition for him. Afilu ki lo amar akne, even if he doesn't say so. This is different. Mishum tekim da amar kikazu hektish, since he said that he wants this loaf to be consecrated, goli daite, del hektish nichale, delikne, that his intention is to use his ability to acquire within the 4 cubits, not for himself, but rather for hektish. Lidide lo nicha, ugli daite, ki hai mehanik nemuchach sugya, dohasam, motzin lever hachi, avli. Just as a person is able to pick something up and thereby make an acquisition for himself, he can also do the other way. Velolo, he can also acquire it for his friend and not for himself. Haganami, hektish kani. So too in this case, when this ownerless loaf is within his 4 cubits, he can use that vehicle to make an acquisition for hektish, and he himself never acquired it. Zenirli. That's the opinion of the rat. And therefore, not the le'achla mo'alafikula. If he then subsequently takes it to eat, the violation of me'il, its embezzlement from consecrated goods, is to the full value of the loaf. He never acquired it. He's not like the treasurer of it, that's in his domain before and after. Therefore, when he takes it to eat it, he has removed it from the domain of Hekdesh. Therefore, he is engaged in Me'ila with all the liability. If his intention was not to eat it, but rather to bequeath it to his sons, then there is Me'ila, but to a lower extent, only as the derivative goodwill that his sons will give him. Since he picked it up only to bequeath it to his sons, and not that they should acquire it now, this loaf does not go out to chulin. It is not transferring from consecrated to the domain of not consecrated. Nonetheless, there is a hana as this derivative, according to the goodwill. Now his sons are going to be giving him some goodwill benefit, even though they haven't gotten it yet. They're going to get this loaf when they inherit it, but in the meantime, they're already going to be machzik tova to their father. He's busy trying to increase their inheritance. And says the Ran, the sons will be in violation of Me'ila at that later point when they actually take the loaf. At that point, the loaf will be Yotze Lechulin, and they will be over Me'ila. The sons will be over Me'ila at that point. That's the opinion of the Ran. Says Tosfos, I said the fun of Kikar Shel Hefker, but Oma Kikar Zu Hektish, Temo. E Airi the Hektish, my Shaikha Khan, Milsa Derava, Gamasnisa Ari Bekonomos. Talking about Hektish, what does it have to do with Rava that's talking about Konomos, about these vows? Venira Derava, Mairi Bekonomos, the Hektish, Noket Lav Dafka, Ella Ki Hektish Koma. It's not literally Hektish, but it's like Hektish. It's a vow that it should be like Hektish. Vimtomar, my Noket, Milse Bekonomos, Kivon de Behektish, Motsuminket. Why not just talk about Hektish? By Hektish itself, we would not say this unless you have the minimum threshold of the Shavapruta, the smallest coinage. It is, if it's a, such a small benefit, this goodwill benefit that comes out of getting this loaf, if that's less than a Pruta, so for Hektish proper, you're not going to have a Me'ila. Of the konomos becholdu ika iser hana, but by konomos, the vows that generate a status like consecrated property, like korbanos, so that does not depend on shavapruta, the minimum coinage, and any amount is subject to the iser hana. The oma kikazu hektish, and he said afterwards that this, that the first step, Rava says, this loaf is consecrated. Loshen ze omar afal pi shelo omar likisha eskeba. He said, in this phraseology, not when I acquire it. Nonetheless, when he does pick it up, he does so on the behalf of Hektish. Hoil the daito liskuzba, since his intention is to effect an acquisition. Vim tomar v'einar maktish davar shlo balolam. How does it work? Why don't we say that a person can't consecrate that which is not in his, in his domain? It's not his. He hopes to get it. When he gets it, talk then. How does it work? If it's not by him, he can't consecrate it yet. V'lo domi l'omer harei behema kedusha v'achar shloshim dehavei kedusha. It's not like somebody says this animal should be consecrated after 30 days that it works. Das v'yodol haktish miyad. Over there, the animal is his. He can consecrate it immediately. Avahacha labiyodol lahaktish miyad. Here, it's not in his hand yet. It's not in his domain yet. He cannot consecrate it until he takes it. Therefore, it appears that he picked it up and acquired it. And then he consecrated it. And then somebody else came and took it and ate it. If he himself, from the beginning, came to acquire it and then took it to eat it, he acquired it to the full extent. Hilka. Therefore, it's been consecrated to the full extent, the entire loaf. Therefore, the Me'ila is the full amount. If, when he took it, the intent was to acquire it for the purposes of bequeathing it to his children, lachuk lehem, to divide it among them. Oh, litna lemishi, so or to give it to somebody else. The ein lo ba ela tovas hana, and he himself is not taking other than the goodwill derivative. Aval guva davar ein shelo, but he's not taking it up for himself. The matter itself, this the loaf itself. Hektish kmokin, so too the value that was consecrated. Ein ochal kula, it's not to the full extent of the loaf. Sharei ein adam makdish el mashiyesh lo ba. A person can't consecrate more than what's his. And all he took was that tovas hana. Therefore, the value of what is subject to me'ila, to this embezzlement from consecrated properties, is only commensurate with what he took, which was the tovas hana, not the whole loaf. In my opinion, says Sosus, it doesn't sound that way from the wording of Rava. She said, this loaf is consecrated. The acha mikan not lochon. Afterwards, he took it to eat. Mashma, dahai, acha shehikdish. It's after he consecrated. Shelozocha ba ani, acher. It's not that somebody else has acquired it afterwards. Kivon shehikdisha, after the time that he consecrated it. L'chenira, therefore it appear, dele olam lo zocha ba adam mishnas hekdish. He still never actually acquired it at the time that it was consecrated. And if you say that a person can't consecrate that which is not in his hands, it's not here yet, he didn't get it. So how could it hektish be chal? We could explain that it's talking about where this loaf is within his 4 cubits. And his 4 cubits can effectively acquire something for him. Inami, alternatively, since he has the ability by his hand to pick it up and acquire it, he's closer to it than any other person. It's therefore considered like something that's within his power. It's like it's here. Anything that's within his capacity is not considered like lacking any action. When he took it to eat it, meaning after he made the acquisition, vihikdisha, and he consecrated it, kidaprishas, as we explained, shayisatoch arba mosav, because it was within his 4 cubits, vihikdisha, achamekan, and he consecrated it afterwards, not la ochla molafikula. If he took it to eat, the embezzlement, the me'ila, is in accordance with the full value of the loaf, lafish niskavin, lishanos kula mirshos hektish, because his intention, by intending to eat it, was to entirely remove it from the domain of hektish, lakach molafikula, therefore, the me'ila is in its entirety. Not la'manas lo'rish l'banav. If he took it on second thought to bequeath to his sons, imkein lo nisgav l'shanas b'kula. Therefore, he did not intend to remove the entire loaf from hektish. L'kach lo'mal elafi tovasana. All he wanted to take was the derivative benefit of goodwill that is coming from this loaf. Midrahavi amash l'karam shel hektish. Says Tosus, this is parallel to one who lends an axe that is property of Hektish. It's a consecrated axe. It belongs to the temple. And he decides he's going to lend it out. He's not the owner, but he's lending out this axe. Ubakabo, loma elafi tovasanoshiva. And then the borrower chops away with his axe. The mi'ila, the embezzlement from consecrated property, is only according to the value of the goodwill generated by the borrower. By chopping, that he gained something from chopping, that's the extent of the me'ila, but not the full value of the axe. So it says that's the same thing here. The one who is being moil, now he's giving it over. He wants to gain the goodwill by preparing this, giving it over to be part of his children's estate. That is the extent of the me'ila. So too, when he gives over this axe, lends it to somebody, and it's owned by Hektish, the lender is guilty of me'ila to the extent of tovas hana, of lending the axe. If we look at the Rambam, so Rambam paskins in me'ila perek dalet halacha tes, ha'is halafon of kikar shel hefker, if in front of him was a loaf that is ownerless, ve'omar kikar zu hektish, he said, this loaf is consecrated, not lamnas la'ochla, if he then took it with the intent to eat. So then he is embezzled in accordance with the full value of the loaf. Amanas laharisha, if instead he decided that his intention was to give it over as an inheritance to his children, then the me'ila is the derivative lower value, not the full value of the loaf, but just the goodwill value coming from this loaf. So Rambam paskins these halachas of Rava. If we look later on in Hilchos Me'ila, Perek Vav, Halacha Dalet, the Rambam talks about the case of lending out the kardom. V'chein, hamashil kardom shel hekdesh. Similarly, if somebody lent out an axe owned by hekdesh, it was consecrated. Humal afitav tanai shabbat. He has engaged in the prohibition of Me'ila, embezzlement from consecrated goods, in accordance with the derivative value of the goodwill from lending this axe. V'chaveiro muter levakav lechatchila. Says the Rambam, and his friend is permitted, the one who borrowed the axe, is permitted to chop with it, lechatchila, no problem. Even if he finds out what happens, before anything, he's allowed to chop away. So this lechera, if you agree with Tosfos, if the Rambam would agree with Tosfos, then he's not going to agree with the Rambam. Tosfos says there's an equation here. The cases are parallel. The cases of the derivative benefit of Tovas Hanah, of the goodwill of giving this loaf to his children, for them to inherit it, is parallel to the goodwill generated by lending the axe that's owned by Hekdesh. The Rambam says that the one who is borrowing is permitted to chop with that axe. If we say they're parallel, then in the case when the children have this loaf, they should be allowed to benefit from the loaf. They should be able to eat it, just like the guy who's borrowing the axe can chop with it. The Rambam said explicitly not that way. The Rambam said that although the derivative me'ila happens now, but the loaf itself has not gone out from Hekdesh, and he says, "Bon of Molin Kishiyotsu," and the sons will engage in me'ila, in this misappropriation, the embezzlement of Hekdesh, when they take it out. So l'chero, the Rambam will not agree with that if he agrees with Tosfos that the two cases are parallel. So the Rambam doesn't say explicitly what is the result of this intention. Are the sons then allowed to be nana from this loaf or not? But if the cases are parallel, then the Rambam would say they would be allowed, whereas the Rambam is explicit that they are not allowed.